So this is
Run, Sue.
Run. I'm not going in rhyme time.
Okay. So this is a talk all about Code Club. And I'm Terence Seaman. Can we just go around and introduce ourselves and say sort of who we are and where we're from? It is. Yes. It's all right. We're going to go around. So we'll start with.
I'm Roberta, and I'm a digital library assistant at the LSC. So.
Electronic resource assistant from University of Lincoln.
Gary, technical librarian from Surrey.
Sue from Manchester. I do look after a couple of websites and do social media stuff.
Claire from Plymouth.
Jodie Kensington in Chelsea, lending librarian and online developer.
Oh, that's a very long title. Woo, get you! Gather around, because there's going to be some display. So, my name's Terence Eden. I currently work for Telefonica, but this talk is not sponsored, paid for, whatever. The views expressed herein do not necessarily represent those of my employers, past, present, or future. About 6 months ago, a friend of mine tweeted me and said, I'm at Edent on Twitter, E-D-E-N-T, and said, hey, Terence, Woking Library are looking for someone to help run a code club. Are you interested? And I thought, oh, that sounds interesting, because I've got a Raspberry Pi and I've been playing around and I wanted to get more involved in my library. So there's a brilliant website run by two wonderful women, Claire and Linda, called codeclub.org.uk, and it provides two things, roughly. The first is a syllabus. It's like, if you want to teach coding to kids in a school, at a Cub Scout camp, Girl Guides, or in a library, here are 9 lesson plans, now expanded to 18, which you can use. Here's everything you need. It also offers a matching service. So if you're a library or a school, you can say, I want a geek. Find me a geek in my local area who'd be happy to do this. And geeks can go along and say, yeah, I reckon I could do that. It also registered, I went through STEMnet. Does anyone know STEMnet? So STEM is science, technology, engineering and maths. It's a national initiative. And basically I did a sort of one-day course on how not to be afraid of children. And they gave me a CRB check, and it turns out they never caught me for that, so I'm I had a full. That's a dangerous thing to joke about, isn't it? So I had a CRB check. As it happened, so I saw this thing. Woking Library said we want someone to do coding, so I met up with the brains behind Woking Library and some of the Surrey librarians. They ran their own CRB check on me, which I would encourage people to do, not on me, but on the people who come and
work. I think that's
changed
slightly now.
There
was your insight.
Yes. So I am, I have 2 or 3 librarians or assistant librarians helping me. So that's the site. Gather around. It's all fine. You can be my assistant, I can. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the. Just for the new people who've come along, we are recording this. If you don't want your voice used, don't speak. So I'm going to show you the syllabus that I use, show you the sorts of coding that we do, and also talk about some of the problems and solutions that we found. And if you've got any questions at any point, don't need to stick your hand up, because we're all a friendly bunch, just shout them out. But please, only one person at a time, because I only have 2 ears, and they get confused. So this is Scratch. This is what the Scratch programming environment looks like. Scratch is a language designed by MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, there we go, which is designed to be very child-friendly. It's free software in both senses, so you can download it and install it. It doesn't cost you anything, and it's open source, works on Mac, Linux, PC, also runs on Raspberry Pi, and a bunch of other things. So the idea, you know what, guys, just all scooch around, because otherwise this is going to be a bit tricky. Scooch, scooch, scooch.
It's
not related
to the TV, is it?
So, we put up. Move up, come on. We're all friends here. 2 to a seat if you can. I'm told Gary's lap is comfy, but. So we put up these big posters, which you can download from the Code Club website, which are all sort of high-tech and circuit boards, and it said, learn to create your own video game, which is what a brilliant way to get kids involved. And so this is lesson 1 of Code Club, which I'm going to show you. So you play Felix the cat, and you have to try and... the cat there is walking, and as you move the mouse, your mouse around, the mouse moves, and Felix the cat tries to chase it around. And you can see my score is increasing because I'm playing the mouse, and the mouse hasn't been caught. But if at any point Felix catches, He turns into a ghost and he dies. And then I can get to move him around. And that's it. And that's level one. That's the first level. First lesson in Code Club is, can you do this thing, which is move your mouse? You know, this is... Okay, this isn't a PlayStation quality game. Let's not kid ourselves. But it's... let me just stop him as well, because he keeps making noise. It's sound, it's vision, it's moving your mouse around. It's not, here is a wall of text, here are lots of arcane commands to type in, and as I think someone in the previous session was talking about, peaks and pokes and memory registers. This is what the code looks like. I can't easily zoom it in, but just pass it around. You'll see it's visual. It's, when the green flag is pressed, move my character 2 steps left. When I move my mouse, make this character follow the mouse around. So it's all written in English, a sort of English like language, which is interesting. So of the, we had, I think, 12 people sign up. We have 10 spaces in the Woken Code Club, which are full and oversubscribed.
12?
10, sorry.
10. And
because
how many
they've only
members
got,
of, you know, adults do you have to that?
So it's me as the teacher and one or two library assistants, depending on who's available. And so they that's part of their sort of hours duty. Of those, two are women, girls, I suppose, the rest are boys, which is either surprisingly high or not high enough, depending on how you look at it. I'm pleasantly surprised to get 2 girls in a coding session. There's 4 kids whose parents speak English as a foreign language, I think, but I think they speak English at home. So that's one thing to consider. There are translations of Scratch available, so it says, I'm trying to think of a single foreign word that I can say, you know, like go in French is...
Allez.
Très bien, merci beaucoup. So instead of go, it says allez, or the same in Chinese or Gujarati or... what have you. So that is one small limiting factor. So if I can, what happens is we print out this worksheet, which is called Felix and Herbert, and it is it's colour printed, which we found really quite important, because when it's black and white, because the colours are quite important in Scratch, blue is a look, orange is a command, green is a variable, and it helps if they can see what's going on there. And this is just a couple of pages saying, do this, try it. Do that, try it. Each one is designed to take about an hour, and what we found is with this Felix and Herbert one, we do a sort of 10-minute introductory session. This is what it is. If you've got any questions, follow the worksheet, or stick your hand up, and we'll help. And by the end of it, all 10 kids had made Felix and Herbert, and they had the mouse running around and the cat chasing it. And what you'll see at the end of some of these is it says, if you have finished this, why not try adding a sound or change the background colour? So instead of it being a hall, it can be a space background or something like that. So it's the lesson plans, I think, are really well structured for two reasons. Several reasons. One is they are step by step. Some of the steps are clearer than others, and so it's really helpful if you do the lesson yourself the day before or on the same day, and anyone who's helping, because you know that way you'll come across any problems with that. The second thing is they have stretch tasks as well. So if the kid has finished everything and they're whizzing away, you can either say, help everyone else, or here are the stretch tasks. The other thing is they come with... notes for club leaders, which basically says, look, this is what you're attempting to do, these are the skills they'll develop, and, you know, here's some stuff that might help you. And some of them also come with a walkthrough. So I think the very first one, literally step by step, this is where you drag your mouse, so that you as a club leader really know. There's also a whole bunch of printouts as well, which we did, which we laminated, which is how to make a character follow a mouse movement. Print that out, laminate it, and then we dotted them around, and so if they needed any help. And this goes... So we've been running a session a week, what I'm going to show you is...
Woking Library.
Now, for age ranges, I think the Code Club website says 8 to 15 or something like that. We say from 9 up, because I think Woking Library has this thing that you're not allowed to be under 9 and unaccompanied. Mm-hmm. Your library may vary. But that...
That's a legal thing, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it may...
tint. Yeah, there's something about
them. It may well be. So here is for the game that we made last week, which I'm going to show you. So I play this fish. I have to eat these little fish. Whenever I do, they make a noise, my score goes up. I have to chase them, and they change colour, just like in Pac-Man. And, oh, I got a bonus, and you see my score goes up, but I've only got 15 seconds left. And I'm just going to play. I love playing this game. They all change colour, and you have to chase them. And but it's not enough just to run over them. You have to get them in the mouth as well. And then I think, game over. And that's like, that's the fifth or the sixth lesson. So by the time they get...
So they've made that.
I made that one. That's mine. And anyone who says otherwise is a dirty liar. That's a lot of hard work for you. Yeah, but they make a game like that. And the great thing about Scratch is almost all the resources are built into it. So, for example, if you want to change the background from being underwater to being... a bench and an outside seat. It's just do that. If you've got time, you can say go to Google Images with Safe Search turned on, and you know get a background image with the sprites as well. You can say here's a bunch of ready made sprites. So we had one kid who finished it. No, before he started it, said I don't want it to be a fish catching lobsters. I want it to be a dragon eating wizards. Well, there's some dragon sprites and there are some wizard sprites. Brilliant. Which then leads on to very, very interesting things. It's so sweet. One of the girls said to me, "When I have the cat catch the mouse, can I make it explode in blood?" I don't know how to program that. Seek help. But it is all sort of drag and drop. I mean, the scripts for this, you know, it's when the green arrow is clicked. Set the score to zero, so you're dealing with variables, and set the timer to 30, and then every second decrease the timer by one, and every time the fish touches the lobster, increase score by one. And so you're starting them off with lots of logical thinking, and, well, they're creating video games, but sneakily, they're learning. Yeah! We're tricking you into an education. That's basically all it is. Let me show you, if I still have internet access, what the Code Club website is like. So they say, 9 to 11 years old. So some of the resources they've got are really brilliant. So I haven't dealt with a 9-year-old since I was 9-year-old. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that I never even considered, one of which was certificates. So at the end of every 3 lessons, they get... A certificate. Congratulations, you completed level 1. Congratulations. And the kids just went nuts over them. It's like, this is printed out paper, and you know, it's like badges. And like, can I stick this in my record of achievement or whatever the equivalent is? It's like, yeah, if you want. So use it as part of your university application, Newcastle. But what you do is you register on here. It's absolutely free. All the documentation is Creative Commons, so you can change it if you want to adapt it for your own region or culture or whatever. You know, if your library has a policy against banning fish in there, then you can turn the fish one into cats eating dogs. There's loads of supporters. I mean, you can also buy Code Club hoodies as well if you want to support them, lovely Code Club t-shirts. And that's it, really. I mean, what we did was the biggest hurdle for me, so I come from a sort of technology background, and I'm used to having an idea, doing it the next day, releasing it the next week, and being happy. So,
in a library.
I had a meeting with them, and they this was in October, I think, doing it, and they said, "So, we were thinking of starting in January." I was like, "What? Let's start next week." I'm like, well. So you will find there's a little bit of a culture clash when you...
That's bad. October to January.
We got it done for November, which I was quite happy with. No, or maybe December. So what we did was... And if you do sort of find a local friendly geek, you will need to sort of...
So where do we find these geeks again?
On Code. So what you can do is... There is something on here. Communities.
I'm willing to give it a go, but...
There's two things. One,
if you're running it.
I would say there's two things. One is you can go and you can register here, and there's all sorts of different co clubs. So if you're east, where are we? Southeast England, which I guess is what
London?
I'm in. No, Surrey is. Surrey is not in London.
No.
We're very separate. But there's a Google group. There's also a web form on there where you can say, and they can email out.
I would say
there's two things. One, if you can find someone local and good, you know, whether that's an older teenager who's already done it or someone in the library who's willing to give it a go, that can work. I mean, the trick with this is you download all the course material, and it's meant to take the kids an hour to do each lesson. By the time I did the first one, and it took me an hour to do that. The next one was about 45 minutes, the next one's 30 minutes. You will just get, as you go through, you will start picking up knowledge yourself. If you can complete the entire course, then by the time kids start saying, why doesn't it do this, you'll have a reasonable idea. Now, I'm not a Scratch expert, although I do pretend that I'm one for the purposes of going into a library. You know, there are some things that I've no idea how to do on there. And sometimes the kids ask questions like, I want to make this thing jump up, and when it gets to the top, spin it, and do this, you know, like they've seen the proper computer game. And I have to say, yes, of course you can do that. I want you to find out how to do it. Oh, I'm a sneaky one. And what I'll do is I will sit with them and I'll try and figure it out. So I think it possibly helps if you do have a bit of a programming background, but I wouldn't say that's a huge impediment. As long as you're prepared to go through the entire course first, which will take, I mean, there's nine lessons, and it will take you a day and a half of sort of sitting down going through. It's something you can do at a weekend, if you still have free weekends, I don't know.
We run coding clubs for girls with Manchester Girl Geeks. The Mad Lab, which is a hackspace, and if you go to social media cafes, you can meet people, and then we gave a load of data to kids doing Young Rewired State, and then we asked them to come in and help with the
Looking at Young Rewired State, tweeting about it as well. You know, Young Rewired State is a group which is run by Emma Mulqueeney, I believe, which basically gets kids to interact with the state, which may be big government or it might be libraries, to say, how would you improve services? What would you do? How could you use code to improve your world? So there was one girl, Issy, who's, I can never remember, who built a real-time dashboard to show which government buildings were costing the most in electricity, or which were the most efficient in electricity. And, you know, she did this in a weekend. I think she was doing her GCSEs, and it's a, you know, amazing thing. It's like, this girl has put up a big dashboard where anyone, any civil servant, can say, hang on, why is this building using so much electricity? Oh, well, that's our Defence Research Institute, but we're not meant to know about that. So. But there are all sorts of people around who will be willing to help, I would say. Where are you based again?
West London.
London. You won't be able to throw a stone without hitting them.
I'd love to have something going on.
If you look at Tech City, which is the government's sort of...
Tech City?
Yeah. Their sort of incubator where they want lots of startups to work in Shoreditch and places like that. Telefonica, who I work for, have basically given me a little bit of time to do this. They also gave me some USB sticks, which I handed out with Scratch and a bunch of other stuff on there. So, you know, it's low value things like that which are actually quite nice to give to kids. There's one thing which I am going to mention, which I found. Let me just go back to this one, Felix and Herbert. Has anyone here read the book, The Checklist Manifesto? No one. So this is now on your official reading list. I can recommend borrowing this from your local library. It's called The Checklist Manifesto. So The Checklist Manifesto starts off with a surgeon who talks about how many surgeries he does a day and how many of them go wrong for really basic things. So one of the most common causes of surgical complications is the tubes that they stick in you getting infected. Now, that's ridiculous, because the first thing they're meant to do is swab them, disinfect them, and then shove them in you. But it turns out when you're in a high-pressure environment, even if you know what you're meant to be doing, you do it again and again and again, you miss something. or the nurse misses something, or the doctor misses something. So what he did, with the help of World Health Organization, was create a checklist for surgery, which says, does everyone here know why they're here? Yes. Does everyone know which side of the patient we're operating on? Because there's a damn few number of people who go, oh shit, we took off your wrong knee, is that a problem? And I mean, even basic things like that, and to say you cannot proceed to the next stage unless the anaesthetist has said, yes, the patient is under. Basic things like that. But because it's on a checklist and written down and everyone has committed to ticking things off before they move to the next level, they cut post-op infections by a ridiculous percent. 77% of doctors said it really helped. 98% of them said if they were having surgery done on them, they'd want their doctors to use a checklist. And it worked in rural hospitals as well as high-tech hospitals. Now, why am I telling you this? You're not asking these kids to do surgery, hopefully. However, what I found was kids were sticking their hand up saying, sir, yes, what's wrong? It doesn't work! What do you mean it doesn't work? I've done everything right. Have you done everything? Yeah, I followed the instructions to the letter and it still doesn't work. I said, well, you haven't done this bit which says when I click this, make him jump. Oh, I didn't see that. Now, next to every single step, as you can see just there, is a...
Checklist.
So, and I am kicking myself for not doing this earlier, but it was 2 weeks ago. I gave a little talk. And I said, now, does everyone know what this is? This is a pen. This is the most important thing that you'll ever have in a computing lesson. What do we do with this pen? And I said, before you move on to the next thing, I want you to make sure that you've read it. And once you're happy that you've done it, you can tick it. And then you can go on to the next thing. Okay? But and if you stick your hand up and ask me a question, if the answer is something that you've already ticked off, I betide you. Minus 10 library points.
Withhold certificate,
yes. sanctions. And you know what? It literally cut in half the number of kids sticking their hand up for not stupid questions, but things which were on there. There were still plenty of them where the instruction perhaps wasn't clear enough, or they'd done something and misunderstood it, or they wanted to go outside the bounds of what this was telling them to do. But the number of people who said, why doesn't it work when I press the red button? Well, you meant to press, it says press the green button. Did you tick that? Cut it in half. And that's also really good for if you're worried about your confidence teaching them, is if you can instill in them from the very first lesson, you have to read and you have to tick. And what we've started doing is the buddy system, which is the first thing you have to do is read through. And if you're absolutely convinced that you've done it, you have to turn to the kid next to you and ask for their help. If they haven't done it, they're meant to, you know, try and work it out with you. And only then can you stick your hand up. And that seems to work. So the setup at Woking Library is I've got loads of computers, but they've got one sort of corridor sequestered away slightly, which is 10 PCs there. And that's what we use. We put up a thing saying these can't be booked for this sort of half an hour before to half an hour afterwards. The noise is a bit of an issue.
Yeah,
with that one there, you will have heard there's a sort of chomp noise. So
I want that from the
up
library users.
Oh no! Well,
when I'm doing classes,
we gave them headphones, plug them into the computer, or we just say if it says record a sound or use a sound, just skip that bit because it's not, you know, the main thing. But obviously, you do get a few glances because there are kids having fun in a library. And that is not what a library is for. It is for serious people to do serious. Yeah. So we run ours at 4 o'clock, which is, I guess, schools finish about 3:30, don't they? So it's enough time to get kids there, and the parents can do a bit of shopping, or, you know, drinking. And leave the kids there. The other thing we do, which I don't think it was in the Cove Club thing, but we've started doing, is we try to finish the class right on time and say, go and get your parents or guardians in and show them what you've done. Because the kids are so proud that they have made, you know, their sort of Pac-Man type clone. And, you know, the little brothers and little sisters also come along and start going, oh, I could do that. What we also did was, I said, we had a USB stick, and I put Scratch on there, so Scratch for Linux, Mac, and PC. I also put all the Code Club tutorials on there, and any other sort of free culture, hacker-type books, which were age-appropriate, on there, and gave them out and said, you know, A, you have to save your work on here, but B, if you've got a computer at home or at school, you want to come into the library to do some more Scratch, you can. So there's one girl in particular. I said, right, does anyone know what today's lesson? And she goes, yes, I've already done it. I was like, well, you can teach everyone else then, can't you? So any questions, because I've rambled on quite a bit.
Do the skills that are learnt in this apply to more advanced programming languages as well?
Yes and no. So this is all very visual programming. So in terms of... very few professional coders. This is how you create something in Scratch. So I'm going to say, when the green arrow is pressed, I want you to change your costume, and then repeat something 10 times, but only if these conditions are met. So it's like Lego. It's logic. So what I would say is, it bears as much resemblance to real programming as Lego does to architecture. So,
but they're learning that
you are learning how to build something. You are learning that you need a flying buttress. Now, are you learning cement? Are you learning angles and geometry? Possibly not. So, with this, you're learning things like conditional statements. You're learning Boolean logic, ands, ors, nots, ands. I said ands, haven't I? Yeah. You're learning how to pass system messages, so broadcasting things, concurrency. It's not called that, but it's enough. So if you were to compare it to something like Python, which is very popular for learning how to code, they are about as different as possible, but the skills from one can transfer over to skills. The advantage of this is you're not typing text into a terminal, saving it, hitting run, and then getting a cryptic error message. You're dragging things along, and hang on, why is my cat facing left? Oh, because I need to put if cat facing left, then cat face right. So you're dragging it all there, and you're learning how to do it. Now, the syntax is going to be different. So it's a bit like...
What's the other one where where they're going through a house, and you have to climb out the window and look really old, I think. That's sort of
breaking and entering.
You create it yourself, but it's all, it's like,
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, so the answer is for a 9 to 11 year old,
it's
a fun introduction. You could start them on C++ or Java, but it would probably bore them. And I would say, if there are budding geeks like me, I was learning BBC Basic, back when I was 7 or so, and I would have jumped straight into Python and wouldn't have bothered with this. But I kind of feel that the geeks will look after themselves. This is about an introduction to computer science for people who, and girls especially, who may never have considered it. And there's a lot of art in here as well. So what we find is some of the kids in particular race through the code, and they're not that interested, but they want to personalise it. So they want to make it, they want to draw their own avatars, and they want things like that. So to go back to your original point, you are learning the foundations of computer science, but you don't know it, and it's hidden up in the fact that it's Space Marines shooting stuff.
So can people share these little sprites and whatnot? So can people actually create their own one and then
Put
it out into the world?
So these are just bitmaps. So what you can do is say, if I go to my desktop, I can import a sprite of myself. There we go. So if you've got a picture... If you've drawn a picture, you can save it. If you've got a picture, you can import it. The other thing you can do, let's get rid of that.
Because there was one where the mouth opens and
yep.
closes and whatnot.
So this one here, so I've drawn this fish, and what you can do is say, I want to draw a different sort of fish, and he's going to look like this. As you can see, my art skills are negligible. There you go, I've drawn a fish. Done, there you go. So you can do that. Now, the other thing that you can do, which we don't in our code club, is you can share all these online. So Scratch is a community. So you can go to scratch.mit.edu, I think. And you can download all of these programs. But what you can do is kids can register and upload. Now, so this is a kind of primitive social network, so obviously the usual caveats apply about parents and guardians need permission, but there's a limit to what you can do. So here's featured projects. This is by some user called Luke or use writer. So I'm guessing from this avatar that this is a 12-year-old girl who has made Super Princess Power games. And lovely, why not? So you can see often message. So this is a program that she has created herself and she has uploaded, and anyone can then download this, edit it themselves. So it's all, you know, Creative Commons, open source. You're also getting them into, you're sneakily teaching them about open source software. Yes! So I completely run out of ideas for Scratch and decided I'd give another try on making a website. Press space. Oh, all right. Picture of a princess. And that's all this mermaid.
Mermaid?
Yeah. Brilliant. Why not? But, you know, she's
like using it. She's
using it as a, like, a messaging thing. This is the Magic Ministry. So you can run some of these using Flash in the web browser, or you can download the code and edit it yourself. Magic Ministry dress up. We're trying to fight stereotypes here, young lady.
She's created it herself.
Yes, indeed. Why not? So, so I can change characters and I can reset the game, and it's even playing some nice stuff. I don't know what I can do with this, but I can switch between all of these Polly Pockets that she. But this is it. Why not? You know, and I'm sure there's a male equivalent where it's all, this is my favourite gun and you can shoot this many aliens with it. So I do apologise to the young author of this, but there's all sorts of fun things you can do. And as I say, it runs on even really low powered computers.
So
now, yeah, there's two things. One, you have to download it, and there's two things you can do. You can either install it, so double click on it and it installs and puts it in all the system directories and it stays there forever, or with most libraries,
it will be cleared off.
Yeah, exactly. What we do is we have it on the USB stick. We put the USB stick into each computer. We copy the folder onto the desktop and we run scratch.exe. Scratch launches and it runs fine. And then we pull the USB stick out and go to the next one. So I can't. You'll probably be able to tell me who does Surrey Libraries computers, like the back-end system. It's
Axial.
There we go. So I know they were talking to Axial about whether they could include this in the default package. And I think, as with most IT departments, they've gone, give us 6 years to investigate. But this
but it works the way
yeah.
that you do.
So the way that we do it is you run it, and I think, again, Surrey Computers might be different from others, but anything you save is wiped as soon as you log
yes.
out. So that's fine. So this is why, I'm going to turn off the noise of this. I'm sure that Magic Ministry dress up, this music is lovely, but
they are working on a new version, though, which is online.
Yes. Yeah, so the new version of Scratch you will just be able to run in the browser, assuming that you've got Internet Explorer
yeah.
9 or above. So it's a bit of a...
Because our Internet Explorer is, God knows, old and they're refusing
I would say download Scratch onto a USB stick, copy the folder across and run it, and it should just run without needing to install. There's an option on the Scratch website, you can download it as a no-install version.
You can also put Chrome on in the same way as you can put that to download
yeah.
it onto the desktop and just run it from the desktop.
But I was going to say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old your PCs are. I mean, the Raspberry Pi, which is a fairly underpowered bit of kit, runs Scratch adequately. So, I mean, the ones at Woking Library aren't top-of-the-range machines. I mean, you can see from looking at it, this is not 3D graphics, amazing, woo. These are cartoon characters moving in a two-dimensional plane and doing stuff. Question?
No? Stretching.
Stretching, that's fine. Hey, in fact, everyone just have a stretch. There we go.
I have to go.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
I mean, how long this
pod
clubs have been around here, in the States? What's the history of this?
So
what are they sort of leading towards? Like,
world domination is what they're leading towards. So codeclub.org.uk was started, I think, early 2012. So they've been running for... I think it's fairly new. Let me take a look at their blog, because I'm assuming that the first blog entry will be when they started. But
is this something that comes from the States?
There have been other coding initiatives. I think this one is sort of homegrown. Let's just see here if they've got. I suppose. And they also have a royal patron who is St. St. Andrew, Prince Andrew, I think.
Really?
April 2012 is when CodeClub.org.uk started, and their mission is to have a code club in 25% of primary schools in the UK by 2015. I think we can include libraries in that as well. So they're very happy for this to run in the library. So where this is leading is, as you know, the GCSE and A-level curriculum for computing is dire. It's basically, how do you open Microsoft Word? How do you save a PowerPoint? And it's like, this isn't computer science, this is ICT. So this is about, right from early years, saying, you're not learning to use Microsoft Word, you're learning how would you create Microsoft Word in Scratch? Could you do it? Yeah, probably could. Wouldn't be the first choice, but that's where it's aiming, so that in several years' time, when kids get to GCSEs, they'll be saying, actually, I want a real computer science project, which is doing Python or C or Java or Ruby.
Next level.
Exactly, yeah. So that by the time they get to university, they'll be kick-ass and they'll be running startups in the next Facebook. Yes. Yeah.
So there's 9 lessons, you say?
So Code Club have released 9 lessons for Term 1, and they've just released 9 lessons for Term 2, which sort of build on that. So
it is kind of like moving up steps.
Yes, definitely.
Then going from using Scratch, what's the next? Is there like a logical jump from using that to something that's more?
That is an excellent question. I would say probably Python. What I did with my USB stick was I included Python on there, and I, in the vague hope that if any of them whizzed through it, I could say, all right, use Python now, and here's that. And there are plenty of free lesson plans for Python as well.
Okay.
I'm writing my own at the moment based on the Byte Brothers, which was a BBC Basic programming thing called the Python Pals, which, you know, is stories which are then designed, you know, like solve your own mystery books, but basically it's a mystery story, and the last chapter and the last paragraph is, how did you solve this using Python? And the kids write a Morse code decoder or, you know, a speed calculator or something like that, so to show practical use. So I think the thing after Code Club is Python, but I'm not sure if there's any sort of code clubs for, you know, that level yet, but maybe. Just to go back to your question, there's a thing here, getting started schools. You can say, look for a volunteer, and I think you can, schools interested in Code Club, you can put your details down on there, and it all sorts of works out somehow. I don't know, magic or something. how are we doing for time?
15 minutes.
15 minutes, right. Well, any burning questions that I haven't covered?
Sorry, I didn't get... Maybe I missed how you got involved.
So my local library filled in this form. A friend of mine happened to see that Woking Library were looking for it, and so I applied and said... I went through the Code Club training in StemNet, got my CRB check, and applied to the library and said, you're looking for a geek to run a Code Club. I'm a geek who would like to run a Code Club. Let's do it!
So you were already looking to do... Code Club?
No, I wasn't. I'd heard of it, and I was fully intending to sign up for it, but I just hadn't yet. So when I saw that my local library was doing it, because I don't live too near schools, and I didn't really want to be driving around and, you know, making a big faff. As it happens, I work from home one day a week, so I said, I can really only do Thursday's day I work from home, and that means that I don't have to rush back from an early meeting to get there. I can, you know, work through my lunch break, do some more work in the evening, and use that hour and a bit to do Code Club. But obviously, you'll need to work out, is this a lunchtime class? You know, is this weekends? Is this, you know, you could run this as a 5-day workshop in half term, you know, and say, come in for 2 hours, you know, an hour in the morning, go out for lunch with your parents, and an hour in the afternoon. I don't know how well that would work, you know, and it depends what your sort of setup is. Anything else, or do we all want to go and get more cake?
The public librarians that have done this, because I'd like to do it in the children's library, because there's going to be no complaints about noise then. They're filtered PCs. Is that a problem?
I mean, you don't need the internet
on
there,
okay.
But you need to be able to run a program. So if you can copy scratch across from a USB disk, then you shouldn't have a problem. I mean, the only thing, none of the lessons at the moment say, go to Google and download a space background. There's enough backgrounds and enough sprites to do whatever you want.
There's a certain amount on the internet, but it's all quite, for obvious reasons.
So if you've just done one in Surrey...
Yeah, so
you need to be doing more? Because it sounds quite like it's quite popular. Well, okay, so you're doing it now.
I'm on lesson... Next week we do lesson 8 of 9, and then the 9th lesson is brilliant. It's a blank sheet of paper, and it's build... Okay, you've done 8 weeks of this. Build your own game. And so we've got them thinking about what they want to do, and someone goes, could I build Angry Birds? It's like, well, yeah, but try and be slightly, you know.
Good try.
So my task for this weekend is to work out how to build Angry Birds in Scratch so I can show that it's possible and then say, go on, build that then. So what we do after the end of the 9 weeks, I don't know. So we were oversubscribed, so our options are, I guess, assuming the library want to carry on, which I think they do, is we carry on with the same 10 kids and we move to term 2. Or we get a fresh batch in and we do term 1 all over again. Or we find another geek to run one. And one to do another.
It's a big county, there's 50 odd libraries, so it'd be good to have.
And Woking's a big one, isn't it? Well,
it's the
biggest
actually.
Yeah.
Biggest by footfall, I think Guildford is bigger than
Let's not get into a fight about this. They're both good libraries. <you know? laughs> So that's it. That's Code Club. If you go to codeclub.org.uk or search for Code Club or find me on Twitter, I'm Eden T. Go find some nerds. Go find some spotty, nerdy people and teach kids to code. And also learn to code yourselves, because following the Scratch syllabus is dead easy. And it's fun. It genuinely is. I mean, you know, Gary's on. I mean, I had so much fun building that fish chomp game that I was almost late for going to actually teach it. I was like, oh, now I can make them change colour, and oh, I can make them play this silly sound. And so it's good fun. So that's it. That's Code Club. Thank you very much indeed for coming. Thank you.
Are you from Manchester?
Yeah.
So what's Mad Lab?